From Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Newsmakers. I'm Ezra Wall in our southwestern Wisconsin studios in La Crosse. Thank you very much for joining us today. It is almost Earth Day. Next week, Earth Day will be upon us. Earth Week, really, if you want to think of it that way. And we're talking about sustainability in our area as a result. And we're talking in particular about Earth Fair and some of the surrounding events, which are back, many events virtual and some in-person opportunities. And we'll talk about all that coming up on today's show. I have four guests to introduce today, and I'm so grateful that they've all decided to join us on the program. First of all, we have Casey Meehan, who's the Director of Programming for the Sustainability Institute and the Director of Sustainability and Resilience at Western Technical College. Casey, welcome back to Newsmakers.
Thank you very much, Ezra. It's good to be here.
Also from the Sustainability Institute, we welcome Carrie Thompson. Carrie, thanks for being here today.
Happy to be here. Thank you, Ezra.
Sarah Bratnover is with the Mississippi Valley Conservancy. Sarah, welcome to Newsmakers.
Thanks, Ezra. It's great to be here.
Certainly. And Jacob Shiamas is with a brand new outfit that we're talking about today called Drift Cycle, and we're going to hear more about that. It's a bike sharing program that's launching this week in downtown La Crosse. Jacob, thank you very much for joining us.
Howdy, Ezra.
Our topic is sustainability, and that is a broad, multifaceted topic of conversation. And so I want to start, let's start with you, Casey. In 2021, why is sustainability such an important thing for us to focus on this year? Or maybe even why is sustainability even more important now as the years progress?
Well, that's a big question. I think what we've seen in the last year, with just all the issues that are going on in the world between, you know, of course there's COVID, but then all of the issues around inequalities and things that we're seeing in society. What I think we're being reminded of constantly is that all of these things are interconnected. So what we're seeing happening with our environment, it's not just an environmental issue, it's also a social justice issue. And so as these things are all sort of culminating in this perfect storm, we're seeing a real need to think differently about the way that we've been doing things. What we've done in the last 100 years, 200 years, it doesn't work. We're out of balance, and we need to reimagine how to run societies, how to set up societies so that they work better for everybody. And that's really what sustainability is all about. It's about thriving. It's not just about environmental protection. It's of course it's that, right? But it's about thriving and helping everybody, giving everybody that opportunity so that they can thrive.
And so the program that you're running in particular at Western Technical College, where does that intersect with the sustainability movement? Because people are going to primarily think of Western Technical College as educating people for going into new career facets and things like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, sustainability, it used to be something that maybe we would think of as a nice to have. But really now it's a need to have. Again, like I was saying, we need to be thinking differently about the way that we do things. And that includes the way that we educate people and what we educate them for. So if we look at Western Technical College, we are educating workers that are on the front lines of, or will be on the front lines, dealing with a lot of the issues that we see coming down the pike and that are happening right now, whether it's, climate-related disasters or our first responders, or our mechanics that are dealing with the machinery that are breaking down in the heat and in the floods. And so it's really important that Western is a leader in sustainability, because we are the ones that are educating this workforce that's going to be helping us be resilient and helping us adapt to climate change as it's happening.
Carrie Thompson is also part of the Sustainability Institute. Carrie, let me talk to you about that institute and about your place in a community like ours. Why is sustainability such an important issue to make people more and more aware of?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. Our focus really at the Sustainability Institute is celebrating sustainability. We hope to do that by raising awareness, by showing all of the great examples that are happening all around us on a daily basis. And I think by showing people that sustainability is more than just a gloom and doom topic, it gives people hope. It gives them the idea that together we can push forward and work towards these sustainable goals. And here at the Sustainability Institute, that's what we're really focused on. How can we be a part of a community that pushes forward a positive vision for sustainability in our region and creates a resilient community that we all want to be a part of, that we all can thrive in?
We've been talking about different aspects of sustainability and leading up to Earth Fair, which the Sustainability Institute coordinates or helps to coordinate. Talk about this year's Earth Fair. I know last year a lot of things experienced some setbacks. This year we're kind of ramping it back up, allowing people to get out in public and do some more things, and still a lot of online offerings coming up. We'll talk about some of the specific events in a minute, but just talk about this year's Earth Fair and what it took to put that together, Carrie.
Yeah, the Earth Fair this year is in its 13th year, and it's a really great volunteer-led effort. This is the fourth year that the Sustainability Institute is hosting the event, but the volunteer-led committee has been really meeting since this fall, kind of evaluating how we can bring some of those great offerings back to the community. Last year, we were challenged with, like many others, with the pandemic and had to cancel our in-person celebration. And this year, we wanted to make sure that there was something out there to not only celebrate Earth Day, but to celebrate what we are calling Earth Fair Week. We are doing a virtual week-long celebration this year filled with a variety of offerings for all ages that are free online events and also some safe outdoor events that we are excited to share with the community.
Another organization involved in Earth Fair is the Mississippi Valley Conservancy, and Sarah Bratnober joins us from that organization. Sarah, talk about the Conservancy and what your work is in our community.
Mississippi Valley Conservancy is a member-supported nonprofit land trust, and what we do is permanently protect land from development. Special places in Wisconsin's Driftless area that are, we've now protected more than 21,000 acres since 1997, all with member support and local memberships and donations. And we protect about 23 nature preserves in the 9-county area. And they are all part of our strategy of ours to create corridors of wildlife habitat so that, again, as climate changes, as there's pressure to develop more land, that wildlife have a place to go. And that also protects our air and water. And it also provides people with fabulous, beautiful, unspoiled places to enjoy recreation, learning opportunities, and even research.
We think about efforts towards sustainability as things that we can do, like drive this kind of car or consume more or less of this kind of product or recycle this or whatever. But it seems like in something like the Mississippi Valley Conservancy, you're taking these areas of undeveloped land and you're basically saying part of sustainability is just don't touch it. How receptive are people to that message?
Well, I think going back to Casey's original message, it's all about balance. And, we're certainly not anti-development, but there are a lot of, things are out of balance. And there are now quite a few species that are threatened by habitat loss. And some of our beautiful landscapes and natural resources are even an important part of our economy. I mean, people come here to enjoy those things and to fish in our streams and rivers and to hike in our hills. And it's important to protect those things, not only for the native plants and animals, but also for our recreation economy and for all the other environmental benefits that they offer us.
Jacob Chiamas is with us from Drift Cycle, and that's a new operation in La Crosse. You've seen in bigger cities these bike sharing, little stations where you can go and check out a bike and use it to get from here to there, or just to take a little sightseeing ride around town. I've seen them in Chicago in particular. They're in a lot of other bigger cities. Jacob, what's it been like to bring a bike sharing operation to La Crosse?
Yes, finally bike share is here. You know, a lot of smaller communities like ours now are starting to have bike share. So not only in big metro areas, but those moderate size, like we are, small towns, whatever you want to call us. It's great to have this connecting our transportation system.
How many people are involved in this project? Is DriftShare like a company that owns this operation, or is this a cooperation from various entities in the area?
It's a brilliant public-private partnership, really. There's a lot of sponsors. You know, this is something that was born out of a feasibility study and lots of transportation planning, so it's a real big-picture item. You know, it fits into, again, I said how it's a part of our transportation system. And so we've got sponsors from OptumServe, which we know as LHI around here, the Cleary family, Hampton Inn, across Parks and Rec, the city, the Bicycle Pedestrian Advisory Committee, Western's a big partner in that, Chamber of Commerce, Explore La Crosse, and the list just goes on. It's great to see all these people at the table trying to find a way to make sure things are connected. And most importantly, let's have transportation that's fun in a beautiful area, it's peaceful, and it's active.
It seems obvious that if you're riding a bike, you're not using gas. Or if you're riding a bike, you're getting a little bit of exercise. But there are other aspects of having a bike share. It causes people to maybe look at the town from a different perspective if they're riding a bike versus driving a car or riding on a bus or something like that. Talk about some of the other benefits of having a bike sharing thing in downtown La Crosse.
You bet. Yeah, you can get to areas you wouldn't normally get to. You know, the bus doesn't come down by Riverside Park, and that's just such a wonderful feature of our community. Right now we have the bike stations, 8 of them, located around central downtown, and that's phase one. Phase two, we hope to expand outward. Phase three, even further than that. At this point, it's not designed as much for commuters, but more for people in the central city, people wanting to just hop around or go for a short recreational ride. It's based on a 30-minute ride or less. That's really what we see as ideal connections to get to the next hub or return to where you were. So we're using refurbished bikes to do that. That's another nice green part of the project. And I just see people's smiles on their faces that we've finally got this opportunity here, and people are really excited about it.
How does the process work? Do I just walk up to a station, and do I have to run my credit card through something, or how do I get a bike?
You know, it's been really fun. We've been doing demos with the community lately, and, you know, everyone with the experience they've got with their smartphones, it's like a totally different experience for everyone. You know, some people have to ask a lot of questions to get started, and others are just happy to hunt and poke at things and get it going. But really, it's just you get your phone out, you download the app, you enter your payment information. We've got free codes right now for your first hour ride free. We really want people to give us feedback on how the system is working, and we have a lot of fine tuning to do, just like all technology. And then it really walks you through the steps through the phone. We do have a sign there with a map that shows you some of the points of interest around the community that you could ride to. And ultimately, we just want it to be seamless, smooth, enjoyable. We've got adjustable bikes for people to fit onto. So we hope everyone just gets a chance to try it out. And I'm starting to discover ways that I have a lot of bikes, and I'm going to be using the system occasionally when I'm downtown and I don't have my bike with me. So lots of possibilities.
That's Jacob Chiamas with Drift Cycle. Before we take our first time out, I want to just bring this conversation to sort of a take home for people. Bring it back to practical applications in our lives. I know it can seem like such a daunting topic to think of changing the environmental course of the planet or even of our community. But Casey, maybe we'll start with you and go to a couple of others. What can individuals do that really does make a difference in sustainability in our area?
Well, I mean, first of all, I would just to sort of sum up what I'm hearing from everyone else in this conversation, that we can change the way that we think about sustainability, right? So lots of times we it's couched and framed in this language of scarcity and just hanging on, right? And that's kind of scary to think about. It's not a very exciting thing to want to jump into, right? If this is all about scarcity and hanging on and just sort of surviving, right? But really what I'm hearing and where I've shifted my mind a lot is moving away from scarcity and thinking instead that, there are some, of course, we face some real challenges here, but we have this incredible opportunity to reimagine and build this new society, right? One that's cleaner and healthier and safer and more economically vibrant. And that's what everybody in here is talking about right now, which is, I think it's really cool. So instead of thinking about scarcity and sustainability, let's think about it in terms of abundances, right? So when we behave sustainably, we have an abundance of clean water and clean air and fresh, nutritious food and great green spaces to go to and an abundance of decent jobs that pay a living wage and an abundance of quality education and an abundance of ways to move around the community, right? And abundance of ways for participants to be heard. So to me, it's just thinking about sustainability in a different, instead of the doom and gloom, right? Let's think about this as a real opportunity and an exciting one. So to answer your question about like, what can we specifically do? I think a lot about climate change. And one of the things that Americans can do, probably the number one thing that Americans can do for climate change, if you're interested in reducing your carbon footprint, is to eat a more plant-friendly diet. So I'm not talking, listen, I'm Wisconsin born and raised, right? I know talking vegetarian here, like that's people aren't into that, and that's fine, right? But just reducing the amount of meat that you're eating, even, reducing one or two nights and not eating meat, that makes a huge difference. That's probably the number one thing that we can do as Americans if we want to reduce our carbon footprint.
And that's because of the pollutants that are released because of farming, raising animals, that kind of thing.
Yeah, right. I mean, and there are, I mean, of course there's all sorts of issues, gray areas here, right? I mean, how you're raising meat and all that, it makes a difference, right? But by and large, the amount of resources that go into raising livestock, it has a pretty significant environmental impact. And so, we have to think about the whole system here. So it's not just the livestock, but it's all the crops that are used to feed that livestock and all the land that's taken over to grow those crops and all the water that's taken to grow the crops to feed the livestock to feed us, right? So it's this bigger system that we need to think about.
Casey Meehan is with the Western Technical College and the Sustainability Institute. Sarah Bratnover from the Mississippi Valley Conservancy. Same question to you. What about individual involvement on a local and personal level with sustainability? What ideas do you have about how an individual person can become involved in this?
I agree that the foods we eat are one of the keys, and eating local and buying local is another way of reducing our footprint on the planet. And we certainly have some great opportunities to do that in this area. And some of the things that we can do some of the main things we can do are to reduce our fossil fuel use. So maybe just being more efficient about how often we hop in our car and whether we carpool and, just doing more efficiency. And also protecting land from unnecessary development or unsustainable development. And then something that people can get their hands on and help with, which is another key strategy to fight climate change, is restoring native habitats. And we have a lot of opportunities for that. We have volunteer opportunities where anyone can come and help us on the nature preserves to remove invasive species and collect prairie seeds and replant them and do some cleanup and help these places to thrive. And it's really a feel-good thing. I mean, I'd say one of the most valuable things that people can also do is give their children an opportunity to learn about nature and get them outdoors. That's why we have outreach programs and hiking and things like that, is because we really want to nurture a love of the land because eventually we're not going to be here to take care of it, and we're going to need a next generation to take care of it. So nurturing that love of the land now is an extremely valuable thing we can all do.
That's Sarah Bratnover from the Mississippi Valley Conservancy. Also joining us today are Casey Meehan and Kerry Thompson from the Sustainability Institute and Jacob Shiamas from Drift Cycle. I'm Ezra Wall here on Newsmakers. If you'd like more information about our program, you can find it, and you can find previous episodes. You could stream part of this conversation that you might have missed at our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. From Wisconsin Public Radio, it's Newsmakers. I'm Ezra Wall with our guests today talking about sustainability ahead of Earth Day and Earth Week here in Western Wisconsin. And our guests are Jacob Shiamas from Drift Cycle, Casey Meehan from Western Technical College and the Sustainability Institute, Kerry Thompson also from the Sustainability Institute, and Sarah Bratnover, the Communications Director for the Mississippi Valley Conservancy. Kerry, let's go to you. I want to talk about Earth Fair, which is a really interesting series of events, week-long, really, series of events throughout our area and online for anybody who isn't comfortable participating in some of the outdoor in-person things. We certainly don't have time to go through the whole schedule, but I sort of cherry-picked a few items I'd like to ask about, and then if there's anything else that you want to highlight, please go ahead. I really was interested in the Go Green Kids eco activities that you've got going on through the week, because that seems like an interesting way to get our youngsters involved, that next generation that Sarah was talking about.
Yeah, exactly. This year is looking a little bit different. You know, previously we had a really great family-friendly event down in Myrick Park, and this year we're really focusing on that week-long virtual celebration. And one of the ways we wanted to continue to engage with our families and obviously with our next generation of youth was to offer a variety of ways and programs for them. One of the new pieces we have this year is the Go Green Kids Eco Activity Challenge, and that's a way for kids and families to celebrate and share how they've celebrated Earth Day this week. There's a downloadable sheet on our website. It's also available in a activity pack pickup at WisCore down in Myrick Park. Kids can participate, find a way to enjoy Earth Day, and then share and celebrate that with us. Some of those activities that we have for kids this year include virtual crittermobiles with WisCore. There is a virtual book reading of Worm McWorm and the Decomposers by Nick Nichols, and some virtual gardening activities all focused for kids. So there's really a variety of ways for families to involve their children in activities this year.
Another item on the agenda is the Good Goose Chase. That looked like a lot of fun, sort of a scavenger hunt.
Yeah, the Green Goose Chase is something we're really excited about.
It is Green Goose Chase. I said it wrong.
Yeah. Good Green. That could work too. The Good Green Goose Chase. But it is the Green Goose Chase. It is new to the Earth Fair this year. It is something that we've been working really hard on. It is a week-long virtual scavenger hunt. It is played through the Goose Chase app. You can download the app for free, create a team for free, and then on April 19th, missions will launch, and you'll have a bunch of these missions to complete as a team, accrue points, and then win some great prizes. Better yet, all of these missions are tied to the Good Life Goals, which are fashioned after the UN Sustainable Development Goals. So it's really exciting this year. We're going to be giving away over $500 in downtown Main Street La Crosse gift cards. So we're, again, bringing that back to support our local businesses here within the community, and over $250 in farmers market tokens, as well as prizes for that. It is completely free for anyone to sign up. So we encourage you to go sign up and create a team and participate. And we just think it's going to be a really great event that hopefully will continue for years to come as part of the Earth Fair offerings.
Sarah Brattenover, one of the things that's being talked about, maybe launched is the right word, or some information provided at Earth Fair this year, is an event involving the Mississippi Valley Conservancy, which is your Trail Trek Challenge. Tell us about that.
Yeah. The Trail Trek Challenge. This will be the third year we've launched this 365-day hiking program at Earth Fair. And Trail Trek Challenge is a walk-hike program that takes place on 16 of our nature preserves throughout five counties. So it's really an opportunity to go see some beautiful natural places that you might not have even visited before. When you sign up for the Trail Trek Challenge, you get a little trail guide with a map and descriptions of all the hikes. And then there's supporting information for all of that on the website. There's a place to log your hikes. And after you've done at least five hikes, you can send it in and be eligible for a prize drawing that we'll have next year at Earth Fair. This program really took off during the pandemic. There's 700 people participating right now. It's a hike when you want. You can go by yourself. You can bring your friends. It's on your own schedule. But I think because of the pandemic, people were more appreciative than ever of having some beautiful places to go outdoors and relax and move and enjoy nature.
It's fun to get outside and hike around in the wilderness a little bit, or if you're like me, on a trail that's sort of wilderness adjacent. But it's even more fun when you can involve the whole family. Talk about what you're doing to get the kids involved in the Trail Trek Challenge.
Thanks. This year, we are introducing an additional feature called Find Nature's Treasures. And in the same place on the website where you can download a trail map for each of the hikes, you can also download a unique nature discovery challenge for each of the trails. So if you're having maybe a little challenge motivating the rest of the family to get outdoors and do something, this adds a little element of challenge and competition, perhaps something fun to do together while you're out there.
Jacob Shiamas from Drift Cycle is with us today. That's a bike share operation that's starting just this week in La Crosse. Jacob, you said that there were several different stations right now in the downtown La Crosse area. How many bikes have you got out on the street at the moment?
We got 40 bikes, and they were just installed this week, so it's kind of a beta testing period. And then tomorrow is our media launch, and that's when we're really expecting the public to start taking advantage of it. Quite honestly, it's cold out, so it's better when it's warmer weather, too. We're just really thrilled for folks to get out and ride. In fact, we've seen people riding further in the community than we ever expected at the beginning, down Myrick Park trails, in fact, pretty far away from the center of the system. So lots of opportunity to ride around.
Well, some of your bikes are, one of your stations at least, is in Riverside Park, and I know there are some trails that come right out there at Riverside Park that you could take the bike down for a few miles before you turn around and come back.
Yeah, that's right. What a nice thing to do on a lunch hour, or just when you come down with the family for the weekend and you're looking for another activity. Perfect for this time during COVID. What a nice addition to what we can do. And then you stop at a hub and you see what things are right around there. It should be a nice way to increase some of the traffic for some of the businesses or residents that live downtown that want access and don't want to bring their bike up and down steps or whatever it might be. It's a nice way to reduce some of the bike ownership that might be necessary, as well as maybe reduce some of those rides that are only a couple blocks in a car when it's unnecessary. We just love being a part of sharing, right? That's about the most eco-friendly thing we can all do. And, I think what makes a real difference is the adults showing children that it's time to teach them how to use these sharing systems like a bike share would be. And for those people that are a little bit worried about using their phone to access the bike, just try it, experiment, and see how it can be a new opportunity for you, because it really is available to all ages.
So what are the costs going to be to people? I know there's like a 30-minute increment level of investment, and then you can also become a member where you can get unlimited rides if you're a monthly member of Drift Cycle. Talk about those different options.
So it's subsidized by all the sponsors, which allows us to charge $1 for every 30 minutes. So the first 30 minutes is $1. After that, you actually get charged by the minute, so you're going to get some pennies after, you know, that 30-minute period. It's really meant to be affordable, accessible. We just want bikes out on the road because we want to move the needle on bicycle infrastructure. It connects with pedestrian infrastructure, and it's a way of making our city more livable and our community more accessible for all. So after, if you're not happy with just doing the walk-up paper ride, you get a $10 membership. It gives you 30 days of that unlimited 30-minute rides. If you want to go longer than 30 minutes, you just pay a little bit. I mean, an hour ride would be $2. So it's, again, extremely affordable, better than any rental program you can have, but it's not set up to be like ride the bike all day. We want to make sure these are bikes being returned and offered to other people so that they can be a part of the transportation system.
Okay, that's very interesting. And one more question for you. How can people find, other than stumbling upon one of the locations, where can people find more information about Drift Cycle?
You bet. We're all over Facebook right now. So you can find us at Drift LAX. If you search for that, you'll find us pretty easy on Instagram or on Facebook, Drift Cycle. The vendor that we use for the bikes is called Colony, and that's K-O-L-O-N-I. And if you go to their website, colony.me/drift, you'll find more information about our program.
And that's the app that you would use to check the bikes out too, right, Colony?
Yep, K-O-L-O-N-I, correct.
Very good. Jacob Shiamas with Drift Cycle. Focusing back on the Earth Fair, and Drift Cycle is part of Earth Fair as well, going to be a launch event related with Earth Fair that people are excited about. Casey, let's talk to you about this year's event versus last year's event. You're welcoming some in-person opportunities. What kind of precautions should people be expected to take? We've got moving targets in terms of vaccinations. Some people want to wear masks. Some people don't want to put a mask on outside. What are those regulations going to be like?
We encourage everyone to be safe, right? And to follow the CDC guidelines right now. So, a lot of our events are virtual and can happen within, families or within pods. So, we can reduce our exposure to people that maybe we're not always around and hopefully reduce the spread of COVID. But absolutely, in all of our events, we are encouraging people to remain socially distant and to wear a mask, whether inside or out, quite frankly. I mean, at this point, we're so close to things, to things really sort of winding down with COVID. We just need to hang in there a little bit more. And we want, as Earth Fair organizers, we want people to be responsible and help us all get to the point where we need to be in this community. So, we do have a few events that potentially there could be some congregating at. So on Sunday, the 25th, I believe it is, there's a recycling fair at MIREC where we're having some electronics recycling and other forms of recycling. And that has the potential to have, some more people there. So it is a drive-through recycling fair. So we're encouraging people not to get out of their cars. You drive up to the dumpsters and volunteers will take your materials out and recycle them. Again, just, wear a mask and stay socially distant and just stay safe.
You mentioned electronics recycling, and that made my mind chase a rabbit. So let me chase it. That's an important part of environmental protection. A lot of people might think that cell phone wears out. That computer wears out. I can just wipe it of all my data and toss it in the garbage. That's not a thing that should happen, right?
Oh, you are spot on. It is a the materials that are in cell phones and in our electronics are toxic. And when those get into the landfills, they leach out, and they do harm the groundwater and they do harm the earth. And eventually, you know, that comes back to us. It harms us and our health. So absolutely, with our electronics, we need to be recycling those. And really, it's not just recycling them. We want to make sure that they're going to recyclers that are responsible with them. So lots of times, in many cases, unfortunately, what happens is we might turn in our phones or our computers, and those get shipped overseas to be recycled in countries like Vietnam and in India. And oftentimes that happens by kids in unregulated spaces. So these kids are breaking apart this machinery and burning it to get out the valuable metals and resell those back on the market. Well, of course, that's also releasing all sorts of toxins, right? And creating lots of problems for people that aren't here, but that, you know, live far away from us. And that's not right. And so we want to find responsible recyclers that are doing the right thing with this stuff, not sending it overseas. And that's what we've done when we work with Dynamic Recycling for our Earth Fair. They are a very highly rated recycling firm that does the right thing with electronics. So we feel really good about partnering with them.
One of the other things going on at Earth Fair is a discussion about climate change in the Driftless area. Carrie Thompson from the Sustainability Institute, what can we expect to hear as part of that conversation?
Actually, that'll be a really great conversation. Casey, who's on with us today, will be leading that conversation. So that'll be a live event. People will be able to listen more from Casey. As you can hear today, he is a vast of knowledge and information, really from a place of positivity. So I would encourage people to go and enjoy that virtual event. Casey, do you have anything to add in regards to a sneak peek to what you'll be talking about?
I just feel so humbled and fortunate to be able to share with the community. So this is a conversation that is happening through English Lutheran Church. They do community conversations every month. And actually pre-COVID, they asked me to do oftentimes these were live, right? Pre-COVID, and they asked me to do a talk last year, and it got canceled because of COVID. So here we are this year doing it virtually via Zoom, but it's going to be great. We'll be talking a bit about really this idea that climate change isn't something that's relegated to experts. We're all part of this story, right? And we all have a role to play in it. And we're all probably already doing great things for climate change. We just don't always know how to connect those dots as you know, people that maybe aren't climate scientists. We often think, well, you know, that's for the climate scientists and the experts to figure out. Actually, we're all part of this story. So the talk will really focus a bit around sort of what's happening with climate change now, where we're at, what the trends are looking forward, where are some of the bright spots that we're seeing moving ahead, and then what you can do about it and how you're actually connected to this story and, this bigger story that we're all involved with.
I don't want to spill the chili here, Casey, but talking about climate change in the Driftless area, we think about climate change and its global impact. Are there specific things that those of us who live in this community, in the Cooley region, in the broader Driftless area, can see that's different now than it was before and attribute that to climate change?
Oh, absolutely. And I think Sarah could probably jump all over this one too with her work, in natural landscapes. Absolutely. I mean, we are seeing, I think that one of the important points here is that climate change is impacting everywhere. It's not just, you know, sometimes we highlight the Arctic, right? Or we highlight, coastal areas because of sea level rise. Climate change is happening everywhere, and it's happening now. This isn't something that we can wait any longer to address. It's happening now. It's no longer a grandkids thing. It's us that it's impacting. And so in the Driftless area, lots of what we're seeing is sort of two things. Things are getting warmer and things are getting wetter. So as far as warmth goes, what we're seeing mainly is warmer winters. So climate change is impacting our summer temperatures a little bit, but really where we're seeing it is in our winters. Our winter winter nights in particular aren't nearly as cold as they used to be. And that has all sorts of implications. We might think, oh, well, great, you know, I don't have to bundle up as much in the winter. But our ecosystem has evolved over 10,000 years to actually need that winter. And so as we see our winters warming up, we're also seeing our seasons shift a little bit. So spring is coming a little bit earlier. Fall is going in a little bit later. And so we're seeing, you know, things like pollen, an increase in pollen. And so for those of you that have seasonal allergies, I'm one of them, right? Things are going to get worse, right? We're going to have a lot more exposure to pollen. Ticks and mosquitoes, those seasons are expanding because the winters aren't getting cold enough to kill them. And we're getting warmer, you know, sort of warmer springs and warmer falls. So that's one way. The other way we're seeing it is things are just wetter. So we are getting more downpour events than we've had in the past. And that impacts all sorts of things, right? From the trails that we walk on because they get washed out, to infrastructure that gets washed out, to flooded homes and all sorts of other things. So those are really the two big impacts that we're seeng right now.
That's Casey Meehan from Western Technical College and the Sustainability Institute. Also joining us today, Carrie Thompson from the Sustainability Institute and Sarah Bratnover from the Mississippi Valley Conservancy. Jacob Shiamas from Drift Cycle was with us and had to drop off the call for another meeting that he had, and we thank him for joining us. We'll talk more about how you can reach out to all of these organizations coming up. Remember, if you missed part of our conversation today, and an important conversation it is, you can find more information about it at our website, which is wpr.org/newsmakers. Our show continues in just a moment. This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. It's Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Ezra Wall in our Southwest studios in La Crosse. Thank you very much for joining us for an interesting conversation about sustainability in the Cooley region and in the Driftless area. And I'm grateful to be joined by four guests today. Jacob Shiamas from Drift Cycle was with us earlier and had to jump off, but you can find that organization online. For instance, I've been seeing them all over on Facebook lately. Just look for Drift Cycle and you'll find them easily there. Casey Meehan and Carrie Thompson join us from the Sustainability Institute, and they are facilitating Earth Fair, which is coming up starting next week, surrounding Earth Day, ahead of Earth Day, and then a few days after Earth Day as well. And Sarah Bratnover is with us from the Mississippi Valley Conservancy. Let's start with Carrie and talk about how people can reach out to the Sustainability Institute and how people can find out more information about Earth Fair.
Of course, yeah. If people want to learn more about the Sustainability Institute or support our programming, just head over to our website, sustaininstitute.com. You can also find us on Facebook. If you search the Sustainability Institute, you will see it there. And you will see right now we have a great banner for the Earth Fair. That is also where you want to be liking and following our Facebook page for Earth Fair updates, as well as the Earth Fair website, which is earthfairlacrosse.com. There you'll be able to find an interactive virtual calendar of all the events that we'll be having over the week-long celebration that we're hosting.
Casey Meehan, looking at more on the educational side of things, you're the Director of Sustainability and Resilience at Western Technical College. How can people find information about the programs there at Western?
Well, if you want to find out more about Western sustainability, you can go to westerntc.edu/sustainability. And that'll take you to a lot of information about some of the unique programs and initiatives that we've taken at Western. Everything from our energy conservation programs to our landscape and landscape management and stormwater management programs, and also some of our educational programming.
Sarah Bratnover is with the Mississippi Valley Conservancy. Sarah, if people are interested in the Trail Trek Challenge or any of the other many programs that are offered through the Mississippi Valley Conservancy or volunteering on some of the opportunities that you talked about earlier, how can they find out more information?
Well, the easiest way is by visiting us at our website, which is MississippiValleyConservancy.org. Or they can visit us on our Facebook page, where we have daily news and information about about things going on in the local conservation world. Also on our website, they can sign up for free for our e-newsletter, which has regular conservation news locally.
We were chatting while I was doing some technical work in between segments, and Sarah, you brought up the very important role that farmers play in our sustainability efforts. Why don't you take a minute and talk about some of those ways that our agricultural community plays such an important part?
Well, you know, we've heard that, we hear sometimes that agriculture is part of the problem and of climate change and so forth. Well, we're, as Casey said, we're all part of the problem. And the truth is that our area has a long history of very innovative development in the world of agriculture, starting back in the 1930s when Aldo Leopold was figuring out how we could protect our soil while farming on these hilly grades that we have in this area. And so that is still going on. I mean, we have more and more farmers who are doing no-till farming or who are introducing prairie strips and innovative kinds of permaculture and all different kinds of ways to really give back to the land while they're also farming the land. And this is another great reason to support our local farmers, because many of them are doing these new, they're testing new ways of farming that can protect our soil, which is threatened by these increasing rain events and so forth. So a lot of it is about how to do it smarter, so we can keep doing it, but without losing our soil and without losing our crops.
So we talk about shopping local and buying local, and we talk about supporting local farmers. And I live in the middle of town, and I'll be honest, I don't know how to tell if I'm supporting other than going to the farmer's market to buy some vegetables. I really don't know how to tell if I'm supporting a local farmer. Can you give us some tips on how we can specifically become involved in a more locally based food supply effort?
Gosh, well, I do think that a number of retailers are aware that we're looking for local foods, and they do, if they're offering them, they're definitely highlighting that in their stores. I do think farmers markets and CSAs, which stands for community supported agriculture, are viable options for anyone. CSAs are actually done on a subscription basis, where you help to share the burden of risk a little bit with the small farmer who, you subscribe for a year, and he or she delivers food to you on a monthly basis, in, where you get wonderful fresh produce. And if they are wiped out by a flood, you share some of that burden with them. But so it's a community sharing effort, kind of like the bike share.
Yeah, it's kind of about everybody doing their bit, and it all kind of adds up, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank everyone here today for participating in this conversation. It's been very interesting, our conversation about sustainability, and particularly the events coming up next week to do with the Earth Fair. You just heard from Sarah Bratnover, the Communications Director for the Mississippi Valley Conservancy. Sarah, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks, Ezra. It's going to be exciting to see people from beyond just La Crosse, but the whole area, be able to participate in Earth Fair because it's online.
Yeah, absolutely. Casey Meehan has joined us. He is the Director of Sustainability and Resilience at Western Technical College and the Director of Programming for the Sustainability Institute. Casey, thank you for being with us again.
Of course, Ezra. It's my pleasure. It's always fun to talk.
And Carrie Thompson is the programming coordinator for the Sustainability Institute. Carrie, thank you very much for your input today on Newsmakers.
Thank you. And we invite everyone to come help us celebrate Earth Fair this week.
Certainly. And if you'd like to listen to our show and you've missed part of today's conversation, you can find it online all the time at WPR.org/newsmakers. Our program originates Friday mornings at 10 on the Ideas Network 90.3, with a repeat Friday evenings at 7 on NPR News and Music 88.9. And for Dawn Jewell, who produced today's program, and John Davis, who always offers us such great input, and the rest of the LaCrosse staff, I'm Ezra Wall. Please join us again next time for another Newsmakers right here on Wisconsin Public Radio.